Nights tuned to yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden age. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Lefonier. There's Mystery in the Cellar from two programs. Later on, a 1949 broadcast of Pat Novak for Hire. But first, it's Richard Diamond, Private Detective, with an encore broadcast of a show heard about 3 years earlier on the CBS radio network from August 30th, 1953. The story is the Bigfoot Grafton case.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
Just a moment.
Diamond. Diamond, pick up the receiver and speak to me or I'll.
Walt, is that your blood pressure I hear bubbling, or are you calling from Niagara Falls?
What's the big idea keeping me waiting like that?
The big idea is that it's a beautiful day and I'm happy. When I'm happy, I whistle. And when I'm happy and whistling, I don't like to be interrupted.
I'll remember that the next time you're unhappy and you ask a favor from me. You can whistle then, too.
Oh, the great, big, important police lieutenant wants a favor from poor little old Richard Diamond.
I want you to go to a funeral.
Yours?
No, it's mine. Say, I'll live to dance to Charleston on your grave, wise guy. Now, they're burying Bigfoot Grafton this afternoon.
How do you know?
How do I know? How do I know what?
That it's Bigfoot Grafton they're tucking in. The way I read in my paper, the Harbor Patrol fished out a guy presumed to be Bigfoot Grafton, boy racketeer.
We're satisfied with the identification.
Huh? Fingerprints?
Fingerprints. Look, the body was in the Hudson River for nearly a week.
Oh. Then tell me, what makes you so sure the guy they're putting in the ground today is Grafton?
Look, Diamond, you're beginning to exasperate me. Will you or won't you go with us to Bigfoot Grafton's funeral this afternoon?
Why me?
Maybe you can show the boys how to dig the grave.
Oh, Walt, that's silly. I don't know a grave from a hole in the ground. So why me?
Because you once told me about a little business matter you had with some of Grafton's gang out west. And because some of those same hoods may attend the funeral. And because if any of them do, you'll recognize.
And I can point them out to you.
Say, you are a detective. Otis and I'll pick you up in about an hour. Goodbye, Diamond.
Goodbye, Bright Eyes.
Come on, Billy. How many times have I got to tell you this is the only thing left to do?
It's all wrong, Marge. I tell you, there's no need to call in a private eye.
Well, hello, girl.
Who are you?
The name's on the door.
Your Diamond?
You see something you don't like?
Yeah, you.
Oh, you'll never be lovely, be engaged, or get to use puns with an attitude like that.
It's a waste of time, Marge, a waste of time.
Lay off it, Billy. I know what's right. We came a long way to see you, Diamond. All the way from West Frampton we came. We're ducklings.
Well, first impressions are so deceiving. I almost thought you were girls. Now, look, there's a psychiatrist just down the hall who...
Billy. The guy thinks we're nuts.
Well, maybe you are a couple of ducks, and I'm the one who's crazy.
Not ducks. Ducklings.
Oh. Well, then if you have that kind of a problem, go to the Audubon Society.
You never heard of the Long Island Ducklings? All we done was win the pennant last year.
Pennant? Oh, baseball?
Now it's coming. We're a girls' softball team. We got our own park out in West Frampton. I play third base.
Who's on first?
Me. Come on, let's get out of here, Marge.
We'll stay. We gotta find Lottie, and he's gotta help us.
Lottie?
Lottie Wyrochek, our second baseman. She's been missing almost a week now. We can't win without our second baseman.
Oh, yes. I can see where it must leave quite a gap between first base and shortstop.
We ain't gonna win the pennant again unless we get Lottie back, Diamond. We gotta have her. You're elected.
Elected? I'm not even sure I accept the nomination.
See, let's go, Marge.
You don't want the job, Diamond?
Well, I've never looked for a missing second baseman before. I wouldn't know where to begin.
A fine detective. Here, you begin by looking at her snapshot.
Oh, no, girls. Really, I'm terribly busy right now. I've got to go to a funeral and help the police department
look
with it.
Look at her picture.
But I tell you, I. Don't tell me this is...
Lottie Wyrochek.
You mean a girl who looks like this wastes her nights playing second base?
Yeah.
Wastes, he says. Diamond, stop drooling. You take the job?
Well, I'm tempted, yes. I'm very tempted. Now, let's get some answers first.
I ask Billy. She's her roommate.
All right. Now, think back, Billy, to a day or so before she disappeared. She seemed worried about anything? Nervous? Upset?
No. Why, she even hit two home runs the very last night she played.
She did, huh? Well... I wonder if... Oh, no, that isn't possible. The Dodgers do a lot of things, but they wouldn't kidnap people. You say she's been with the team 2 years?
Yeah.
Diamond, what sort of questions are these?
Please, Lefty. It's my turn at bat. Now, Billy, what did she do before she became a second baseman?
Who knows?
You'll find her for us?
For you? Oh, no. For me. They gave me a pass for the game that night with the Amagansett Amazons, informed me how to get out to West Frampton the quickest way as the E-train flies, then exploded themselves out, leaving me with a snapshot of a second baseman who looked like Jane Russell, only more so. I wasn't able to dream too long because soon the door opened and I looked up to find the most beautiful gabardine suit I'd ever seen walking toward my desk on the frame of the ugliest hoodlum I'd ever seen.
Hey, you Diamond?
To some people. To others, I'm Mr. Diamond.
Diamond. Mr. Diamond. The late Mr. Diamond. Yeah, that's the one I like the best.
All right, Parrot Puss. Who's been eating your crackers?
All right, Comic. I'm just a boy with a message.
Well, spill it.
You had visitors, huh?
Yeah?
Yeah. A couple of overgrown tomatoes. A couple of tomatoes that look more like they belong to the Russian infantry than to the human race.
Well, you're not very much to look at yourself, ugly. Get on with the message.
The message is lay off. Don't go looking for no missing girl. You don't wake up with no bullet holes where your eyes ought to be. Huh? That's the message. The whole message.
No signature?
You don't need no signature, friend. Goodbye, Mr. Diamond.
Just a minute, Repulsive.
Yeah?
I want to tell you about the last side-of-the-mouth punk who brought me a message like this without a signature.
Go on. Frighten me. Go on. Hey, just stand back, that Diamond. Don't come no closer. I'll let you...
Don't reach into that pocket, punk.
Oh, my arm.
Now, let
my
me
arm.
Get it for you. Al, a Luger.
Oh, you...
And almost as ugly as you are. We won't be needing it for this game.
My arm. My arm.
Oh, there's your arm. Now, put it up with the other one, and I'll knock your head off. Seconds later, when I picked myself up off the floor, I looked around for my spar mate, but he'd taken his arms and gone home, leaving me with an eye which for weeks to come would have me lying to people about walking into a door. Yeah, a door wearing gabardine.
How'd you get that shiner, Diamond?
I walked into a door, Walt. A door with a fist at the end of it. Where is this cemetery, South Carolina?
We'll be there soon. Bigfoot Grafton won't mind waiting a little longer.
Assuming, Sergeant Otis, that it is Bigfoot Grafton they're planting.
Oh, no, you're not going to start that again. I told you on the phone. We're satisfied with the identification.
What identification?
Laundry marks and Grafton's shirt, cleaning marks and Grafton's suit.
Go on.
What do you mean, go on?
Look, Walt, suppose you're wanted for murder. Two murder raps, and you don't have a chance of beating. And suppose that next to the mailman with the income tax refunds, you're the most looked-for guy in the country.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say, Diamond. You think maybe Grafton finds a sucker with his same general build, shoots him in the spine, changes clothes with him, and then dumps him in the big bathtub.
That's right, Walt.
Well, us silly, confused homicide cops figured that way, too, until we checked up on what gave Grafton his nickname.
His nickname? Bigfoot.
Yeah. 14 and a half. We found his shoemaker. He verified the size.
So?
So it's possible that Grafton can find a guy that fits his general physique. It's even possible that the guy he finds not only is built the same way body-wise, but wears exactly size 14 and a half brogans, too. Yeah, it's possible, but highly improbable.
Yeah, maybe you're right at that.
Well, on behalf of myself and all the other simple-minded fellas known as cops, thank you, Diamond, for saying what you just did. Thank you. There's the cemetery.
It was just a simple little funeral. Except that the coffin cost maybe $10,000 more than mine will ever cost. And excluding the fact that there were enough flowers to make a couple of dozen floats for the Turnip of Roses parade. Yes, it was just a simple little funeral with maybe 1,000 simple little mourners. Good conservative people, like safe blowers, burglars, con men, petty thieves, and some not so petty. Big wheels, little wheels, chiselers, grifters, grafters, jip artists.
Well, Diamond, you see anyone who used to run with Grafton's mom?
No, not yet. Hey, look. Now, what's he doing here?
Oh.
The parrot nose and the stylish gabardine suit.
I've been admiring that suit. Gabardine, huh? Too bad a poor little gabardine had to go give up its life just so a mug like that could have a suit.
Where are you going, Diamond? Who is that guy?
He's a messenger boy. I'll be right back. I edged my way through the crowd toward him, hoping that in view of the solemnity of the occasion, none of the pickpockets among the mourners would make use of the opportunity to swipe my suspenders. 5 yards away, he turned. He saw me and started to run. I put my head down like a sprinter and turned to follow. There's nothing like a merry chase in a merry place like a cemetery. And just when I thought I had him...
Diamond! Diamond, what are you doing running into tombstones?
Oh, well, I suddenly remembered it's been years since I had a collision with a tombstone.
Oh, what were you chasing that guy with a fancy suit for?
I wanted to find out who his tailor is. Look, Otis got a good look at that twerp I was chasing. Tell him to go through Rogue's Gallery and try to identify him for me, huh?
Yeah, but where are you going?
Me? No, I think I'll go to a ball game. It was a good game as games go, fast and exciting, and my girls did themselves proud, 8-3. Even though the girl who was playing second in place of the missing Lottie made 3 errors. After the game, I was in the corridor outside the dressing room talking to Billy, the first baseman. The one who didn't think I should have been hired to bird dog the missing girl.
Look, Diamond, this is all for nothing. Lottie ain't missing. We never called on you. There's no case.
Now, that's the same tune with a slightly different lyric and ugly in a gabardine suit saying to me. It's a good thing I'm stubborn.
It's a bad thing, Diamond, for you. It's gonna maybe cost you your life. No. No! Don't!
It happened that fast. By the time I turned around to see who did the shooting, he had disappeared in the crowd.
Dirty heel.
Diamond, what happened? I heard shooting.
Stand back, everybody. Send for a doctor.
Oh, my God. He's rotten heel.
I was on his team.
Who, Billy? Who?
I told him, Marge. Called on you to find Lottie.
Who, dear?
They'll kill Lottie. They'll kill Lottie.
Billy. Billy.
Diamond. Is she?
If anyone asks you who's on first... the answer is no one.
Diamond, this department isn't in operation so that you can find girls. I don't care how she looks in her baseball uniform.
Oh, but this is business, Walt. I tell you, she's been kidnapped. Another girl on the team was just murdered.
Another murder? Where?
West Frampton.
West who?
Frampton, out on Long Island.
City limits?
No.
That's the quickest case I ever marked closed. What do you want to waste my time with imported homicides for? Don't I have enough to do right here?
Oh, but Walt...
Don't bot me. They've been knocking each other off like flies this week. We're so jammed up, I got 3 stiffs that don't even have a place to lie down.
4, if you include Otis.
Oh, just for that wise guy, I ain't talking.
Oh, if I could only be sure of that.
I mean, I ain't talking about the guy you played tag with in the cemetery. I found him in the picture book, all right, Diamond. It took me 2 hours. And just for making cracks at me, I ain't telling you his name.
Whose name?
Joe Gabardine's, that's whose. And I ain't telling you what else I found out about him in the picture book either.
Why not?
Because you think you're smarter than the whole police department put together, that's why not.
Oh.
And so if I go spill to you that this Joe Gabardine used to work as a gunsel for the late Bigfoot Grafton... you're gonna right away say Bigfoot Grafton ain't dead after all, and that I'm a dope.
Walt, you hear that? The guy that threatened me if I went looking for Lottie Wirecheck, this Joe Gabardine, is one of Grafton's boys.
Say, who told you?
Was one of Grafton's boys. Grafton's dead.
No, but maybe not. Maybe all these shenanigans are part of Grafton's plot to put some sucker in his coffin and stay undercover.
Sure, sure.
Maybe Lottie Wirecheck knew in some way or other that the guy they fished out of the river and buried today wasn't Grafton. Look, Walt, you got a...
Diamond, tell me. That name you said, the one that sounds like something spelled backwards.
Wirecheck?
That's funny.
What's funny?
That's the same name as this dame's in the file missing person sent over. Only this one's name is Lottie Wirecheck.
So's this one, you dope.
You mean there's 2 dames with a name like that?
Yeah, just like there are 2 heads on a sergeant named Otis Loveloon.
Now, listen here.
Who reported her missing?
Just for being a fresh guy, I ain't gonna tell you.
You ain't gonna tell him what?
That it says here on the file card that this doctor reported her missing.
Who said anything about a doctor?
Huh?
You sick, Otis? You need a doctor?
I ain't sick. Besides, he ain't that kind of doctor. He's a dentist.
Who's a dentist?
This Dr. Allman. Dr. Percy Allman. 223 Park Avenue.
So?
What do you mean, so?
What about him?
What do you mean? What about him?
Well, you brought him into the conversation. Dr. Percy Allman. You said 223 Park Avenue. What made you mention him if you don't have anything to say about him?
He's the guy who reported this laddie whatchamacheck missing, you dope. Gee, Diamond, are you dumb?
Dr. Percy Allman's home for decrepit teeth at 223 Park Avenue was a fancy schmancy establishment where bad little molars and bicuspids went in for punishment. I could tell even before I met Allman that he was the kind of drill artist who assured the customers there'd be no pain. No pain at all, and there usually wasn't. Until the customers got their bills. The office was a ground floor professional suite that opened directly on the street, and when I pushed open the door and went in, this kind of nice middle-aged guy greeted me with,
"Yes?
I'm looking for Dr. Allman."
"I'm Dr. Allman, but it's after my office hours, young man, unless it's an emergency."
"Well, it's about Lottie. Lottie Wirecheck."
"Lottie? You're from the police. You found her."
"Well, not yet, no. And I'm not from the police."
"Not? Who are you?"
"My name is Diamond. I'm a private investigator."
"Oh. You gave me quite a turn for a moment."
"Well, I'm sorry. Doctor, I'd like you to tell me a few things."
"What sort of things?"
"Lottie Wirecheck. What's she to you?"
"Well, presently, just a friend. Formerly the best dental assistant I ever had. An extremely nice girl."
Yes. I saw her snapshot. A dental assistant, huh?"
"Yeah, lovely, lovely girl. I hated to lose her. But this baseball thing had been burning in her for a long time. Look, Diamond, just how much do you know about all this?"
"Well, I know that Lottie's missing. Maybe in trouble."
"Well, I do need help. Perhaps I'd better tell you everything."
"I'm game."
"But I think I should warn you. The information I'm going to give you is dangerous. It may mean your life."
"Well, I'm still game. Maybe not as much as a few seconds ago, but..."
"Very well. A year or so ago, I had a patient, a man who called himself Dunn, George Dunn."
"And then you found out that Dunn wasn't Dunn at all, that he had very big feet and he was a racketeer named Grafton."
"Yes. You're very clever, Diamond. It was the dental chart he wanted. He threatened me. I felt that if I ever gave it to him, he'd feel the necessity for killing me. So I gave the chart to Lottie to keep..."
It happened so fast, I barely had time to leap behind a chair. One second, the doctor and I were talking. The next, everything was bedlam and confusion. And blood and death and anger. My anger. The doctor had caught one smack between the eyes. And I got mad, shooting mad. I charged out of that office, maybe 10 seconds behind the killer, just in time to see him get into a car and melt away into the traffic. He headed east, then south, and east again. Then stopped at a crummy-looking building and went in. And that's when smart, shrewd, clever private detective Diamond climbed a drain pipe, tore his pants, looked inside a second floor window, saw a girl tied to a chair, and like Lochinvar, broke in to rescue the fair second baseman in distress. Lottie?
Look out!
Oh, this was getting monotonous. The billy caught me on the back of the neck, and while it didn't knock me out, it didn't make me feel like dancing either. The first thing I was aware of when I oriented myself to my new condition was the biggest pair of feet I'd ever seen. And the next thing I saw was the gabardine suit containing in its bright, clean folds the filthiest little murder artist I'd ever seen. So I made like a possum and pretended I was asleep.
So, say, Grafton, I told you this shamus followed me. I want him.
He's all yours, Joe, I promise, but later.
Why later? Why wait?
Because I gotta get that dental chart, that's why. Now that you've rubbed off the dentist and that goofy Billy the ball player, that chart's the only thing in the world that can prove Bigfoot Grafton's still alive.
So why does that have to hold up Diamond's execution?
Because maybe he knows where the dental chart's hid. I'm giving up on the dame here. She'd have told us long ago if she knew.
If Diamond knows, he'll talk. Even if he don't know, he'll talk. And scream, too.
Later, Joe. And put that pig sticker back in your pocket.
I don't hear you, Grafton. This Diamond made me unhappy, and I don't like to wait.
I said put that knife away, Joe.
I still don't hear you.
All right, Joe.
I knew this was the only chance I'd get. They were too busy showing each other their fangs to give me their undivided attention. And so the possum stopped playing possum and made a stab at playing tiger. The act started with a well-aimed kick to what the fight reporters call the midsection. And the gabardine suit folded limply and sagged to the floor like it didn't even have a man inside it. And that's when Grafton pulled the gun, and that's when I made a grab for his knee. And you guessed it, there was a shot. And then there was a punch that made a mess out of a jawbone. And I'm happy to report that this time it wasn't mine.
Oh, you're wonderful. What's your name?
Well, honey, my name's Diamond.
Diamond?
Yes, dear. And believe me, a diamond is a girl's best friend.
Hadn't anyone till you. I was a lonely one till you. I used to lie awake and wonder if there could be a someone in the wide world just made for me. Now I see I had to save my love for you. I never gave my love till you. And through my lonely heart demanding it, Cupid took a hand in it. I hadn't anyone till you.
You're so romantic, even with a black eye.
Oh, thank you, dear.
Oh, Ricky, darling, it must have been dreadful.
Oh, it had its moments, Helen.
Yes, I saw that photograph. A second baseman.
What's the matter with a second baseman?
Well, Ricky, if she were any good, wouldn't she be a first baseman?
Honey, I don't think you understand too much about baseball.
Teach me.
Oh, it takes years, baby, years.
Well?
Hmm? Well, baseball's a game that's divided into innings. 9 innings.
Innings? What's an inning?
Maybe I better teach you how to play post office.
No, Ricky, please.
Let's see now. An inning is a sort of a division, a stanza, a frame. Yeah, that's right, a frame.
A frame? An inning's a frame?
Hey, you're digging it.
No, I'm not, Ricky, not really. Maybe we'd better forget it.
All right.
An inning is a frame.
That's right, dear. An inning is a frame.
Ricky, was she nice?
Lottie?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll say this for her. She sure had a beautiful inning.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective, stars Dick Powell in the title role and was written by Blake Edwards with music composed and conducted by Frank Worth. This is Bill Foreman speaking. Richard Diamond, Private Detective, is transcribed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective, on Tuned to Yesterday from August 30th, 1953, on CBS. The first time that story aired was on the same day in 1950. The announcer of that series, Bill Foreman, one of the busiest during radio's yesteryear, known in 1953 for being the announcer for Father Knows Best and for the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, but probably best remembered on radio for his leading role in nearly every broadcast of the Whistler Mystery Series. You're listening to An Hour of Mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now a man best known for Dragnet stars as Pat Novak for Hire, it's Jack Webb, in an ABC broadcast from May 21st, 1949, called John St. John.
Pat Novak for Hire. Sure, I'm Pat Novak, for Hire. That's what the sign out in front of my office says. Pat Novak, for Hire. Down on the waterfront in San Francisco, you don't get prizes for being subtle. If you want to make a living down here, you got to get your hand in the till any way you can. You rob Peter to pay Paul, and then you put it on the cup. Oh, I rent boats and tell a few white lies if the price is right. It's a happy life, if you don't mind looking up at a headstone, because sooner or later you draw trouble a size too big. I found that out Tuesday night. It was raining, and the street was as deserted as a warm bottle of beer. It must have been about 11 o'clock when I came out of the office and started down the waterfront. As I got near the corner, I stopped. An old man stepped out of the darkness and started across the street. It was a short trip because a car started up down the street and the old man couldn't have made it with a pocket full of aces. I started over to him. The car slowed down for a minute and then turned the corner and disappeared. As it passed under the streetlight, I caught a glimpse of the license plate in a dull, surprised way, the way you'd grab a feather out of an angel's wing. I bent over the old man and rolled him on his back. He didn't seem to be in pain. He was just an old man with the frightened look of a small boy in a storm, who was breathing hard as I cushioned his head.
Please help me. Can you please help me?
Well, that's a big order, mister.
Oh. I must talk to you.
Well, if you've got any good quartz, you better get them off your chest fast.
My pocket. Inside my pocket. You please put your hand.
Yeah. In here?
Yeah.
Sure. Two envelopes. What about them?
One is money for you. You have the other one?
So far.
The other one. Please keep sealed. And you will give it to John St. John?
John St. John.
Yeah.
Well, where does he live?
Oh, you don't understand. It's not... I want to tell you. You don't understand.
He was right on that one. I didn't understand a thing, except he slipped out of my arms and stopped paying taxes. I dragged him over the side and I went through his stuff. There was nothing there. No identification. Just a card with an address out on Haight Street. I opened the envelope and $300 tumbled into my breast pocket. The other one was sealed. There was no name on it, but up in the corner, there was some kind of marking. It looked like two crosses spliced together. There wasn't anything I could do for him except pray, and I owe some back dues. So I went back to my office and called police headquarters. I told them where the old man was, and then I checked in the phone book. There was no John St. John listed. Well, it wasn't going to be easy to find him, and I only had two leads, that license number and the address on Haight Street. So I looked up the only honest guy I know, an ex-doctor and a boozer by the name of Jocko Madigan. A good guy, but to him a hangover is the price of being sober. I finally found him singing in a Mason Street bar. Jocko, I want to talk to you.
Ah, Patsy, you're just in time for the counterpoint. I'm singing a song, a little sentimental thing from my childhood.
Yeah, well, it'll keep. I got a problem.
You'll always have a problem, Patsy, because you can't keep out of trouble. You know that, don't you? You have no self-control.
All right, Jocko.
You have no more self-control than a bucket of mercury dumped on a marble staircase.
All right, now, shall we check the bright talk? I just saw a guy get killed.
Oh, you are like some violent disorder in nature, some large but unprofitable storm. You keep whirling in circles, Patsy. If you ever go more than 10 feet in one direction, it's because some woman is 9 feet away. Then it begins all over again.
Are you all through?
Yes, get to the point. That's another of your troubles. You never get to the point.
I just saw a guy killed 10 minutes ago.
How would that interest me? Are you selling an eyewitness account?
Some old guy got killed down on the Embarcadero. He checked out 15 feet away from me.
Who killed him?
I don't know.
Why do you care? Professional jealousy?
Some car came out of nowhere and clipped him.
You sure it wasn't an accident?
Yeah, just like the Berlin blockade. Will you stop needling me, Jocko? I told you a guy got killed. He was murdered right in front of me. I gotta find a guy called John St. John.
How St. John?
John St. John. I don't feel like vaudeville tonight, Jocko. The old man gave me $300 to deliver a letter, and I made him a promise.
Well, you can break it now with only the slightest risk.
I got the license number of the car. Now, I want you to hop down and look it up. And then check at headquarters to see if the guy's got a record, will you?
I don't like policemen. They depress me.
Check it. I gotta go out to Haight Street.
Huh.
What kind of neighborhood is it out there?
Well, it's not exactly a neighborhood. It's more like an architectural afterthought, a lingering defense against the early California bear.
All right, all right. No speeches. Just check on that license plate, huh? Now, if I'm not at my place, try this address.
Yes, that's always very interesting at this time of night. Good night, lover.
Jocko was right about the neighborhood. When I left him, I doubled by my place and left the envelope. I put it inside another envelope and stashed it behind some books, and then I headed out to look up John St. John. Oh, it must have been about midnight when I got there, and it was the kind of a neighborhood where a for rent sign reads like a ransom note. I found the place, though. It was an old rooming house, a third-floor apartment. I knocked at the door, and when she opened it, I knew it was time to wire home for money. A tall, blonde blister with lots of Fahrenheit. She stood there leaning against the door, smiling, looking at you as if you had gold-plated muscles. It gave you a weak feeling where your dinner ought to be. And her voice came right out of the oven.
Well, you're out kind of late.
Yeah, I'm looking for a guy named John St. John.
Oh? Won't you come into my cobweb?
Sure. For a spider, you're nice and chubby.
Well, a Spider-Man. My name's Lee Norton. You want to write it down?
I'm Pat Novak. I'm looking for a guy named John St. John.
You seem to be running a temperature on the subject. Sit down.
Yeah, the couch will do.
I'll bet you carry rainy nights in your pocket.
All right, now let's get out of the woods, Angel. I'm looking for a guy.
I know you're wearing out the path. I don't know a John St. John.
A dead man was carrying around your address.
He was? That seems rather futile.
Yeah, an old guy about 60. He got killed crossing the street.
He should have had a Boy Scout then. I don't know anything about him, Mr. Novak. Despite occasional temptations, I don't collect 60-year-old men.
Well, he was looking around your address. Why?
I don't know. Maybe he admired me from afar, like a sunset or something.
No, he stopped admiring sunsets about 20 years ago.
I see. What are you, the avenging angel?
He gave me a sealed envelope.
And you were supposed to give it to a man named John St. John.
That's right. He gave me $300 to ease the pain.
I figured that. You don't look like the charitable type.
He was a nice old guy, so I'm going to find his boy.
Maybe I could help you.
But you've got a clear, fast track. Let's see you go.
Well, I told you I don't know John St. John, but I'll do this much.
Yeah, I know. You're going to be big-hearted and offer to take that letter just in case you ever meet someone named John St. John.
What? You brought along your crystal ball.
Your hand's shaking, baby.
Maybe it's the wind. You better hold it.
You need a handrail, friend.
Yeah? What are your plans?
I'm open-minded about it.
Mm-hmm. You're a nice Spider-Man.
Yeah. The wind's getting a little worse, isn't it?
Yeah. Wish you'd act a little more surprised, though.
I'm not. When I walked in, I could see you had both arms broken. Did you pay the rent this month?
Keep the kettle on. I'll only be a moment.
Hello, Lee. If we're early, just give us a magazine.
No, come on in. Well, just enough for some bridge.
You're right. You're only gone for a moment. Who are your friends?
When I don't sulk.
Did they lock the manhole before they left home?
His name's Novak.
Yeah? That's a pretty name. It don't rhyme with anything, but it's pretty, huh, Joe?
Yeah, it's all right.
Let's have the letter, Novak.
You got hold of a bad rumor, fella.
The one I got's good. Let's have it.
I don't want to strain your mind, Junior, but try to understand. I don't have a letter.
Ask him again.
Go on home, mister. You're not going to get anything out of me except a small tip. Now, if you're a good boy, I'll give you a nickel for your friend, too.
All right, Joe. Hold him up.
Yeah, just a minute.
He's got a head of hair. Hold him up.
All right, Mike, that's enough. That's enough.
All right, baby. Don't look so sorry. You can't have everything.
It's easy to sleep if you got the right friends. When those two gun-ups were through, I hit the floor and made Rip Van Winkle look like an insomnia victim. I didn't like the floor, but it was in better shape than my face. I don't know how long I was there, but it must have been a couple of hours. I rolled over once and tried to get up, but it was like trying to barbecue a cake of ice. There was a sick, sweet smell in the room. I tried to place it, but my nose was out on strike, so I went to sleep again. The next thing I knew, it sounded like New Year's Eve.
Here you go, Patsy. Up on the couch.
What's the matter?
Nothing if you're a kitchen stove. The room's full of gas.
Oh.
You ought to open the window if you're going to turn on the gas.
Some of my playmates, I guess.
Well, you weren't at the apartment, so I tried here.
Yeah. What time is it?
2:00. Who got the quaint idea of the gas chamber?
A girlfriend. It was love at first sight.
I see. Let's go home to bed.
I'm getting used to floors. That old man started a ball game, Jocko. When I mentioned John St. John to this girl, she turned banker and brought in the Gunsels.
Did she get the letter?
I left it at home.
Oh, you're getting smart.
Yeah. $300 worth. They lifted my dough.
Well, you couldn't have used it where you were going.
Yeah.
I've checked on that hit-and-run car. It's listed under the name of Sidney Bronson.
Has he got a record?
No.
Everybody's a beginner. Well, let's go home.
Oh, it'll be dull, but you'll get used to it. Wait till I wash my hands.
Yeah, go ahead.
Patsy?
Yeah?
What did your girlfriend look like? Was she the lively type?
Yeah. Why? What's the matter?
Because she's not anymore.
Yeah. Those Gunsels play rough.
She's kind of pretty. What did she do besides sending out vibrations?
I don't know. But she knew all about John St. John.
Yeah?
She picked up the bait like a hungry bass. Also, look at that ring.
How'd you get around to that?
The insignia on it. It's the same one that's on that envelope, spliced crosses.
Let's go home, Patsy. The police will be here.
Yeah. Even Hellman will know she's dead. Come on, we better go. On your way out the door, Jocko, try it sideways because I think it's blocked.
Hello, Novak. You look pale.
It's my color scheme. What do you care, Hellman?
None. She looks peaceful.
Yeah, I'll be quiet or you'll wake her up.
I'll tiptoe. You always cut her throat before she goes to sleep? Who is she, Novak?
I don't know.
It's awful cozy here for a bunch of perfect strangers.
I don't know every dead girl in town, Hellman. You'll have to check.
You can still write, can't you, Novak?
Hmm?
That's all you'll need down at headquarters. Come on.
Oh, get out of the haze, Hellman. You don't know who's dead yet, but you're going to book somebody.
Yeah. What are you doing up here, appraising the joint?
I came up to find a guy named John St. John.
She doesn't look like a guy named John St. John.
She was my lead. I came up here to smell out a rat. She had a half Nelson on me when two Gunsels walked in.
They came up to fix the gas meter, I think.
You stay out of this.
I'll make every effort.
Now, if you're smart, you'll fingerprint this place, Hellman. These boys were cute. They've been in somebody's jail.
I'll handle my job. You stick to murder.
You'll go a long way to pin this on me, Hellman.
I can go a long way, Novak.
Not with what you got to drag.
We get a call in the middle of the night. Come up here and find you standing over a dead girl.
That's right.
And you want me to sprinkle powder all over. Back up and take a better look, Novak.
Oh, the view's fine, Hellman. And if you'll take a good look, you'll know why. You haven't got anything to give the DA except a slim lead and a fat hand. You're going to need help.
Not on this one.
You'd need help to find the street. Come on back to center, Hellman. Even with both hands, you couldn't
fight. Yeah?
Forget it.
So take the medicine like a good boy. I'm not going to walk out and let the two of you tour the town. I'm going to book one or both of you on a murder charge.
All right. Book Jocko here, then.
I love you in a generous mood.
You got a string then, Hellman. Somebody's got to find John St. John.
Who's going to find Jocko?
Oh, stop worrying. I'll bail you out.
You haven't got the right size heart, Novak. You'll let him die on the vine.
Hellman, sometimes you're guilty of unexpected wisdom. I know it's reflex action, but it's consoling anyway.
I want you, Novak. I want you bad. I'll take this guy as a down payment, but I'm going to close out with you. Remember that.
I will.
All right. Come on, mister.
Wait a minute. Patsy, you're not going to let him lug me off like this.
What else can I do? The guy likes you. It was a bum curve to throw Jocko, but somebody had to dig us out of a hole. Jocko wasn't the boy. You can't shovel dirt with a bar rag. Well, I had no idea where to start. There were two murders, and they were both tied up with this John St. John. He didn't look like a good guy to know. Then there was that insignia, too. The one on the letter and the one on the girl's ring. Sure, it could be a coincidence, but that's what they said about Bluebeard. The only thing I could do was open that letter, so I went back to the apartment. I didn't have to turn on the light. They were running in pairs tonight. She was sitting there on the couch, proud of a pair of long silk legs and smiling like a guy who knows he's got $1 million in the bank. She was blonde, too. A little more lemon juice, maybe, but blonde anyway. She was nice and comfortable, and I got the idea she just signed a lease.
Good evening. How do you do?
Not very well so far.
A sly remark, Mr. Novak?
No, I'm just bringing you up to date. Your girlfriend's dead.
Yes?
Yeah. The gas jet's out in the kitchen.
It is? I think that's supposed to be mysterious.
You clear it up, then. Find a name for yourself and a reason why you picked out my furniture.
Oh? Do you mind my being here?
I just want to know your name before I throw you out in the hall.
Mr. Novak, I'll bet you're awfully slow when it comes to throwing somebody out in the hall.
Not if they can bounce as well as I figure you can.
When you do throw me out, throw the letter out, too.
All right, now, I've already had a dress rehearsal. The answer's no. Well,
at least I know where you stand. By the way, why are you standing? Please sit down.
Hmm? Yeah. Who's John St. John?
Don't be redundant, Mr. Novak.
Who is he? If you want that letter, you know him.
Don't shout. I'd like you better if you purred.
I don't need your vote. Who's John St. John?
I don't know him.
You want that letter because you collect stamps.
I want it. And you'll have to take my word. I don't know John St. John. It'd be worth breaking your heart over.
Look, there's a good guy down in the clink sweating on a murder rap for me, so I want John St. John.
You've got nice friends.
Who's Sidney Bonson?
How does that fit into the picture?
This started with a waterfront corpse. The leftovers belong to an old guy that was hit by a car. The car's registered in the name of Sidney Bonson.
Mr. Novak, you seem so intense. It's a pity to waste it on random speculation.
Now, look, I told you, lady, I got a friend in the jug.
Loyalty's a nice trait. One of your nicest.
Yeah?
You're a pretty thing, Patsy.
Let's don't get fooled by the rapper.
I'll take a chance.
Anybody ever brief you on trouble?
Mm-hmm. You're hard to see that far away. Come on over into focus, Patsy.
Yeah?
You're pretty, Patsy.
You look like you want a bill of sale.
I'm the gentle kind, Novak. I'd just like to break your ribs.
Go ahead. I can get a brace.
Come here.
Yeah? What's on your mind?
What you're going to say when you find out about this gun?
Huh?
That's right, sweetheart. My finger isn't hollow. Back up and take a look at the gun.
You got to that purse, huh?
That's right.
You've ruined my confidence.
I'll give you a testimonial. In the meantime, I want the letter.
You go after everything the same way.
I want the letter.
It's in the desk. Come on. Right here in the top drawer. All right.
Go, stay away from...
I'm already here, lady. All right, now come on, drop the gun first.
Let go of my arms now.
That's your version.
Let go of me! Let go of me!
What was that for?
A little something in the house. Now beat it.
Well, you've ruined my confidence.
You're lucky. Go on home.
You won't change your mind about that letter?
No.
Suit yourself. I'll be going. Oh, Patsy?
Yeah?
I can't help you on John St. John, but I wouldn't worry about that fellow, Sidney Bronson.
Hmm? Why?
Because I'm Sidney Bronson. See you soon, Patsy.
I let that one sink in for a minute, but it got about as far as my brain and ran out of gas. She wasn't driving that murder car. Otherwise, she wouldn't get that talkie. It began to look like a big, fat, well-fed double-cross, and John St. John was holding up his end. I had to find out what was in that letter, so I made tracks for the bookcase. All I could do was browse, because the letter was gone. Whoever took it didn't even leave a tip. I thought of the girl, but that didn't make sense. And I thought of John St. John. That made lots of sense. Things didn't look rosy for me or Jocko. I was about to buy a file and bake a cake when the phone rang. Yeah?
Hello, Novak.
Oh, Hellman.
The coroner got a report on that dead girl. She died at 12:30.
That's pretty close. What's he got, a stopwatch?
15 minutes either way. Those fingerprints panned out, too.
Yeah?
A couple of L.A. strong-arm men.
Well, that's new for L.A. You got a call out?
We already picked him up. Your favorite's named Welcome Danglers.
I could make a joke.
I already got one. They're set up with a perfect alibi for 12:30.
That means I killed the girl.
Nobody's arguing. I got some more news.
Yeah?
I'm out at Seal Rock.
You got the figure for it.
We just found an envelope floating around the water. It's one of yours. You better come on out.
You found an envelope, so what?
So the envelope turns out to be in some guy's pocket. Come on out.
Well, that only meant one thing. Whoever took that envelope out of my place got popular. It was getting late, so I grabbed a cab and rode out to the beach. When I got there, Hellman was standing down near the water. He had Jocko with him. The surf was rolling in, and Jocko wasn't much better.
Hello, Patsy.
Hiya, Jocko. How's jail?
Dry.
Thanks for coming, Novak. You're sweet.
Where's the envelope?
Here.
There was a letter in here. Did you take that with the guy's money, Hellman?
You got all there is.
This guy on the beach is the third one.
It's my opinion the case will solve itself. We're running out of people.
Who is the guy?
His name's Walter Avery. Here's his stuff.
Yeah, what's left? Well, this spliced cross really gets around.
Ah.
It keeps bobbing up. Here it is on the guy's fountain pen.
I'm going to run this guy through the morgue, and then I'm going to look you up, Novak.
Yeah?
Sure. We want you down with us.
That's right, Patsy. I'll introduce you to all the best people. Good night, lover.
Thank you. close to 5, so I tagged by my place for some sleep. I tossed around like a fish on the living room rug. Hellman called about 9 to throw more dust in my eyes. He said one of the airlines had a passenger to Portland named Walter Avery. Just to make it tough, the guy made the 12 o'clock plane and got off at Portland. Well, I had left field all to myself. I got dressed and looked up Sidney Bronson's number. There was no answer, so I went over. The place was locked, and I looked up the janitor. He wasn't going to let me in, but it turned out his wife had a birthday coming up. Sidney's apartment was real high-powered. I don't know where she got the dough, but I knew I wasn't going to find a tin cup and pencils. What I found was lots better. A card with that same insignia, the spliced cross. The card said, Belcrest Sanitarium, and down in the corner there was a guy's name, Dr. Emil Schoenig, psychiatrist. Vienna without the walls. The Belcrest Sanitarium was down near San Carlos, so I borrowed a new Nash from a guy I know and headed down that way. Everything was fine until I got in the front door. They didn't even let me register. I woke up on a couch in Schoenig's office. It was dark outside, and my left arm was throbbing like a love story in a woman's magazine. The radiator sitting next to me was Sidney.
You're a deep sleeper.
I think I got some help. What happened to my arm?
Hypodermic. You only need one arm anyway.
In your case, I need a spare. Who did it?
Dr. Schoenig.
He's a darling boy. Where is he?
Out on the phone, trying to figure out what to do with you.
What's that make me, a patient?
That's one way of putting it. You made things easy. We were coming to you for the letter.
You want to try that over again?
We were on our way when you stumbled in.
You're wrong, Sid. Somebody's giving you a fast pitch. That letter was gone when you were up at my place.
I don't want a bum rib, Patsy. I want that letter.
You're trailing the field, Angel. I told you, the letter's gone. A guy by the name of Walter Avery took it out of my place.
Walter Avery?
That's right, and somebody thanked him. They found him this morning making like a dead seal.
Walter Avery left for Portland last night.
A plant, sweetheart. You better read up on your friends.
No. Thanks, Patsy.
I told you to watch him, Sid. You had more shots.
What's the difference?
None, I suppose. Why don't you mix us a drink while I talk to Mr. Novak?
I'll be right with you.
Well, Mr. Novak, you're one of my best patients.
That's because I like your needles. You better go easy on that drink.
Yes? Why?
You'll get drunk and run somebody down the way you did that guy on the waterfront.
Oh? A good guess. You should be proud. That's a good, sensible, final emotion.
Here's your drink, Emil.
Thank you, my dear. Here's to Mr. Novak.
Emil, I talked to Mr. Novak before you came in. He thinks you're a heel.
He does.
So do I.
Oh, I can stand it.
He told me about Walter Avery.
I'm sorry about that.
Walter got that letter. You killed him and took it. I was supposed to blunder around till you got rid of me, too. That's a bum joke, Emil.
You're getting hysterical.
With laughter, Emil. You put one of your boys on that plane. Only Novak aired the wash too fast.
Suppose I did. Somebody ought to bring you up to date, Sidney. You've been hanging on too long. The free ride's over. Might as well tell you now. You're all through. I cared the whole bunch along with it. And I'm all through.
Steady, Emil.
What's the matter with me? What's the matter with me, Sid?
Give him a hand, Novak. He just had a bad drink.
You wouldn't do that, Sid.
I'm full of surprises. You got a stomach full of poison. You got a stomach full of poison in 15 seconds, Emil. Put down that gun, Emil.
I want you to, Sid.
Please, Emil, put down the gun.
I'm a selfish prophet. This happened kind of fast for you, Novak.
What's the noise, huh, Patsy?
Yeah. I'll get you a pillow.
I'd rather have your lap.
You get mercy, not love, baby.
Thanks for small favors. How do I look?
Not so good. That was the 3-2 pitch.
Yeah, I had it coming up. I'll tell you about John St. John.
I know. There was no such guy.
That's right. It was the name of the group.
Those spliced crosses?
Yes. Found out a little late, but it's always that way. That's the way I found out about you.
Yeah?
Had a funny hunch about you and me. I found out a little late. But I know now, Patsy. Does that help?
St. John was the name of an organization buying and selling government information. That old man tried to tell me, but he checked out too fast. I began to figure something like that when those spliced crosses started showing up. Shoney killed the old man in Sidney's car. He couldn't stop because I was around. The two girls and Walter Avery were both in on the deal. Shonig knew who I was when he saw me go into my office. He tailed me to my place and left Avery there to look for the letter. He killed that girl up in the rooming house, and then he found out she didn't have the letter. When Avery showed up, he took it away from him and threw him to the fish. Shonig was trying to shake Sidney by sending her up to my place after he had the letter. The scheme went haywire when I showed up at the sanitarium. He was trying to work himself out of that one when the payoff came. John St. John? Yeah, right from the start, Jocko said he was either dead or in the state pen because anybody with a name like John St. John would have killed his parents as soon as he got old enough to find out about it. Worked out all right. They found the letter out at Schoenig's place. There were some plans for guided missiles and a few other trifles. Well, Hillman asked only one question. How come Shoney didn't kill me before I could talk to the girl? Well, it's always that way with a guy who commits murder. Either he goes too far or he doesn't go far enough.
Richard Diamond, private detective on Tuned to Yesterday from May 21st, 1949 on ABC. And that wraps up this hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. It's been a pleasure.